bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. It's the Mag Show, late by 2.5 days. We do this properly. If we screw up, do it with bells. We're here to discuss the week's Macintosh news, and there's been a little bit, not an awful lot, but a little bit. I'm joined by a wonderful panel to discuss said Mac events. Starting off, top left, Paul Wheatley. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, not too bad. I mustn't have embarrassed myself that much last weekend.
You were grand, mate.
So, you decided to ask me back, so all good?
No, you were great, pal. Absolutely great. No worries at all. How's the week been? You've got sun, I do believe.
Yeah. It was an absolutely gorgeous day yesterday, and again today. And what that basically means is there were still clouds. We didn't actually see the sun, but we were aware based on the heat that it was there. There's an amazing website for Glasgow. It's called Tapsa for Tapsan, and basically all it is a website that just tells you whether in Glasgow or not you should have your tap off or your tap on,
which is your shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Which is basically everything above 10°C is taps off.
Really, that's brave.
Yes. No, it's a lovely nation we live in.
You've got to ease into it gently, mate. You can't be throwing yourself into hot weather like that. You'll evaporate.
Yeah. Well, we all go from transparent to blue in the summer, and then we go back to transparent again in the winter.
Good man. Excellent.
That's actually really cool.
Literally.
It's bloody awesome. Freezing normally. back from the hike in time for the Mac Show, unquote, his last tweet. Jeff Gamet, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing good. My feet are just a little sore, but totally worth it. You guys should have been with me today.
I would have loved to.
Fantastic hike.
Based on the fact I had to send the kids to their room today, I'd have loved to have been with you, mate.
Oh, yeah. You probably should have been with me.
Gordon, yeah. Bennett, what a day I've had. Best move on, though. How's your week been, Jeff? How did the comic show go?
The comic show is this coming weekend, so I'll let you know how.
Not another comic show.
Yeah, Denver Comic Con is this next weekend. But that's right, we did a comic podcast a couple days ago.
I've had to listen. It was sufficiently geeky.
It was loads of fun.
Good. Well, yes,
some of it went over my head.
I have to admit. Distinctly over me.
That's all right. Just keep listening and smile, and pretty soon you'll get right in.
Excellent. Ms. Gamont, how the devil are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Not in blocker vision, and with new hairstyle-ish.
A little bit, yeah. Got it cut, got it fixed. There you go.
Okay. Run the Afro comb through it.
That too. I also did...
How many rollers do you need in that to do that?
None. That's the thing.
Oh, man.
This is what it does. Like, by itself, if I just sort of... Yeah, it needs a little bit of convincing, but this is what it actually looks like most of the time. That's about it. It just needs convincing to stay together. Otherwise, it just gets really frizzy. But then, yeah, it does this.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah. Someone who's got distinctly less hair. Dr. Happy Mac, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. I've still got most of my hair.
And Kelly's combed hers at least, mate, and it still looks more unruly than yours.
Yes.
You've got the shed to yourself.
It turns out apparently 10 o'clock on a Sunday evening is beyond my wife's working remit. So, yes, she's quite sensibly retired for wine and TV.
Has she put shelves up behind you?
Has she put shelves up?
Yeah.
I've always had those there.
Decorations and adornments.
No, that's my old Walt Disney 1950s vintage Walt Disney books and some bits of sculpture that I was doing and some other bits and bobs and some, yeah.
Unfinished sculptures.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, no, it's the comic show reunion today, so three of the four back for the Mac Show. We all had a hoot and I think we all enjoyed it, and I think, you know, We all love comics.
This network is getting so, we should just do one show with everyone and be done with it.
Yes. Move to Birmingham.
The transatlantic network as well, as opposed to the British Tech Network. And last but by no means least, man who's been down the pub and he's back.
Been up the country as well.
Yeah, you came up to Birmingham.
Well, Ironbridge, yes.
Ironbridge.
Met up with Mr. Will Green and then drove like 3.5 hours back and went down the pub and now I'm knackered.
Good lad. It's all right. It's a good journey. It's easy. Was there much traffic for the bank holiday?
There wasn't a way up, not on the way back, thank God.
We have an annual holiday tomorrow. End of May annual holiday, so no one's working, which is why we're all drunk. I'm here, and I'll be talking the week's Mac news with all these people. But first things first, we're going to get the bash out of the way, because I am promising you that this is your last chance. If you want a ticket at £20 per person, then you're going to have to buy one in the next 7 days. And when it goes up, it will be the 3rd of June. On the 3rd of June, I've got to pay for the new venue. Now, we've had a tiny bit of sponsorship come in. So, here's what's going to happen. If you buy your ticket before the 3rd of June, it will cost you £20. If you buy it after the 3rd of June, it's going to cost you £30. Because I'm a rip-off merchant. and I don't give a toss anymore. So, all those people that are under the wire and have got a cheap ticket, thank you very much. Now, if you're thinking of gate crashing as well, then do watch out, because there's me, Carl Madden's there, and also Matt Barton. And all three of us, in one form or another, have paid to be there. So we are the father, son, and holy shit of bouncers. So make sure you have a ticket before the 3rd of June, otherwise you ain't coming in unless you're paying extra. That's the way it goes. It's the way we roll over here. You've had a long time to buy these tickets. You've got no excuse whatsoever. Thanks to Vince, who bought one this week as well. Good lad. And a couple of others. I'm serious. It will go away. And we've got some fantastic games lined up. I've had another one today from Aaron Clayton, who's come up with a great idea for some fun. So, Saturday the 6th of July is the bash. Buy your ticket, get yourself up here, have some fun and some beer. Everything's paid for on the day. And there'll be loads and loads of fun with lots of like-minded people. Which makes it sound like a swingers party, but it's not. on the Friday night...
I'm really disappointed.
Yeah, sorry, man. on the Friday night, there is a swingers party. No, on a Friday night, there's a curry at the best curry house in the world, and it's over the road from where I live, and it's £10 to reserve your seat, and you'll get £10 off your bill when it comes at the end of the night. So that's the banner below. So click on the banner for the British Tech Bash to buy your ticket, and then click on the curry ticket if you want to come on that as well. Friday and Saturday, 5th and 6th of July. You've only got till the 3rd of June to get the substandard price, and then it's going to go up, I'm afraid, because I'm getting tough. It's getting near the deadline. I've got to pay for the venue. There we go. The other thing that's happening as well is WWDC has been confirmed that there is a keynote on the 10th. There absolutely definitely will be. And on the 10th as well, at the London Mac User Group, I'll be down there and there'll be a panel who'll be sitting, talking with everyone in the audience and having some fun, listening to the keynote live if they bother to stream it, which I think they've kind of set the precedent that they're going to. And we'll be discussing all the stuff that comes out and having a little roundup podcast afterwards that we'll try and transmit as well if we can. It's at the Old Explorer Pub in just off Oxford Street. So get yourself down there. Proceedings start at 6 p.m. Because that's when the keynote starts. We'll probably get there earlier at 5:30 to start setting up, but like most years, we won't be set up in time for Tim's first clear of his throat. So come if you can, in London.
I've got my bus ticket.
Are you coming?
I'm coming.
Oh, good man. Excellent. Now, if Dr. Happy Mac can come from bloody Cirencester, you lazy bastards can get there from anywhere else in the country. Come on.
Yeah, to be fair, England isn't that big.
Yeah, no. Everywhere's 2 hours.
You try walking it.
So just everyone go.
If you actually,
it's a big country when you're as small-minded as we are.
It's no, yes, that's true. That's very true. But no, I mean, I live in consultant country. I'm in Birmingham, in the middle of the country, and there's a lot of places are 2 hours. The only one that's outside it is Glasgow and Edinburgh's probably more like five. But you can get Birmingham to Liverpool, 2 hours. Birmingham to Ipswich, 3 hours. Birmingham to London, 2 hours. Birmingham to Cirencester, 2 hours. Manchester, 2 hours. There you go.
Dead ease in Cambridge, hour and a half. It's brilliant.
My dad lives in the other side of the same state, and it's like four.
Yeah, but you know,
four and a half to,
you know,
get to him. Yeah, but and you it's know still
that,
Oregon.
Yeah, but you know that the whole of the UK fits inside the US mainland 52 times, right?
I do now.
Yeah.
I knew it was small, but good Lord.
There's the distance from
that's a statement you never want to hear a woman say.
The distance from Land's End to the border, the distance, that whole distance to the border with Scotland, there's the same amount of Scotland that's above, and there's only 5 million people in the whole of Scotland. It's a big empty wasteland, yeah. And that's just Glasgow and Edinburgh.
And I'm in neither of those.
I'm really going to piss off a lot of people tonight. I can feel it coming. There could be, actually, I may actually get a few people. If there's a referendum for independence, I could probably sway a few people towards a yes vote tonight. Right, the week in Apple. What's been going off? Tim Cook has had a private audience with a few senators, and John McCain decided he would cut line at the Genius Bar and just go in straight for a little bit of advice. Bastard. Wait your
Don't
turn,
you
mate.
Think that's why they had the hearing?
A Genius Bar appointment. That was all it was.
That's pretty hardcore. If you're willing to hold Senate hearings just to bump yourself to the front of the Genius Bar line.
power will corrupt, mate.
Come on. We haven't let McCain become president yet. So really, he's just twiddling his thumbs, you know.
Yeah, McCain was the one that said he was sick and tired of his apps having to load up again. I mean, the first things first, then, is there was no real fallout from that in any particular way. John Stewart probably came up with the best summary of all the pundits, I would have thought, which was that effectively they were lining up for a coffee date with Tim Cook and nothing else.
Cheaper one.
Yeah, cheaper one than the 600 grand.
Slightly.
Bill. Yeah. I mean, was this a real poke at Apple or just a poke at corporations in general? Is there going to be legislative change as to how they're going to keep some of the money in the US? Jeff, I mean, do you want to start us off on this? Because you've probably got a more sensible answer than the rest of us.
Boy, we're screwed. All right, so this is a poke at Apple, and this is a poke at the corporate tax world in the United States in general. And Apple was, I think, being singled out at this point. Hewlett Packard and Microsoft, they had to testify last year. And a lot of people don't realize that this is part of an ongoing investigation into tax laws and tax practices in the United States, and wasn't something that was held specifically to get Apple in front of the Senate subcommittee.
So is this going to turn into anything, though? Is it just going to be a bit of wishy-washy talking around and there won't be any legislative practice to follow up?
There's a lot of corporations that want this to be wishy-washy, nothing happens, because they have some really great tax laws in their favor that allow them to shelter money very easily. And they want to keep doing that. So there will be some really hardcore lobbying to keep the laws as they are. But clearly, Congress is looking at how much money is being held outside the United States and simply won't be brought in because it's fiscally irresponsible for companies to do so. And as long as it stays outside the country, it can't be taxed in the United States. So, yeah, Congress, I'm sure, is going to look at ways to change the laws, and lobbying groups representing major corporations will be fighting that.
Mm.
So here's an interesting story, I think, about this is I found an article in the Washington Examiner about the hearing that Apple had to go, was called in front of Congress, and what it was about. And it was basically about their tax bill. And the interesting thing to me about all of it was that Apple came out swinging. They came out ahead of time and they said, this is what we have. This is where we have it. This is why we have it there. And that statement came out before Tim ever testified, which I thought was useful. It gave people some time to sort of digest what it was they were going to say, because none of that stuff was particularly secret anyway. And this article in the Washington Examiner points out that Apple doesn't lobby, really. Like, comparatively, Apple basically doesn't lobby. and Apple doesn't have a political action group or their own lobbyists or any of that kind of stuff. And it points out that in the 90s, the Federal Trade Commission investigated Microsoft, and they called Bill Gates up on the carpet, and he had to go sit on Capitol Hill and answer all kinds of questions from senators. And I'm sure he had to fix some computers while he was there, too. And basically, after they got called in front of Congress a few times, they called Bill Gates in front of Congress a few times, Microsoft started lobbying harder. Now, whether these are related or not, they are facts. Microsoft was called in front of Congress. All of a sudden, Congress started getting a lot more money and lobbying from Microsoft, and now Microsoft isn't called on the carpet anymore. Those are all the things we know. So I think it's really interesting to consider that maybe this is what it is that because Apple doesn't spend all this money and Apple doesn't lobby super hard for or against most laws, and they, you know, the most of their political contributions tends to be things like they come out with a statement and say, all of our employees are eligible for domestic partnerships and it doesn't matter, you know, who the other person is or something like that. Like, they don't really come out and write a check to a senatorial campaign or write a check to lobby for or against something that could be something that would be pro-corporation or even, you know, pro-Apple. They don't generally do that kind of stuff. The only time you ever really see things from them is when it's something that has lots of support. And, you know, a lot of companies have come out and said, I'm for this or I'm against this. Then sometimes Apple will have a statement too, but not even that often. And so I think this seems to me to be a little more likely explanation because Apple said, you know, we're within the law. And Congress was like, well, why? You know, and they're like, if you don't like the law, change it. Now, what you need to do is call a company in here who is paying more to their CEO than they are to Uncle Sam. And maybe those are the people you need to be having a conversation with.
Well, I mean, the point to be made is that there could be a bit of, from what you just said there, the wasp stinging the bear at this point. Because Apple, what about Apple had to lobby about? There's nothing to lobby for, apart from tax. And now they've kind of poked them. It's kind of like, ooh, well, actually, now Apple might think about getting a lobbyist.
Now, okay, so interesting point out of what Kelly was saying about Apple isn't really spending a lot in lobbying. Apple's not playing the government game. They're not doing the whole lobbying thing in Washington D.C. like so many other companies are, which means that Apple isn't kicking in for kickbacks that go to Congress representatives and senators, and they're not part of this whole big money party thing that's going on with lobbying. So is there any chance that we have some senators and some representatives that are feeling like they're kind of missing out on a little special something that they'd like to have from Apple, and so Apple's being called into hearings because they're not playing the game?
Hmm.
Just kind of tossing that out there.
Are you suggesting corruption there, Jeff?
No, I think it's coercion. I think there's a subtle coercion. Line.
Because you're going to have some more fun from TSA agents, I think, if they
and the line's 15 years wider.
Oh, boy, howdy.
I think collusion is really more what we're looking at. It's people that go, you know, the smoke-filled room and behind a closed door, somebody says, you know, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, blah, blah.
Then we're back to a swingers party.
It does seem weird to me, though, that the people who make the laws and taxes and things like that are the ones saying, why aren't you paying more tax? Well, change the laws. You're the ones responsible. I don't see what's so complicated about it.
And that was my favorite part of the entire hearing, was basically the question was asked, why aren't you paying more in taxes? And they said, we've been upfront about everything. We're not holding everything in some Bahamian account or, you know, we haven't shoved all our money off to the Caribbean and pretended it doesn't exist. And, you know, like, I really have, and I'm not saying this because I'm pro Apple. I'm just saying this because Apple's been transparent about where the money is and why it's there. And if you, like, look me in my eye and tell me that Dell or Shell or any other company who rhymes with those two is a company that is not doing something that is maybe a little shady when it comes to stashing away some of that cash. There is no way that that's what's happening. I just have such a hard time believing that Apple is who they need to be picking on. And I wonder if it's a headline thing, just like every time that, oh, I don't know, Forbes picks on them. Everybody knows it's going to get attention because Apple's who's in it. If you find and replace that entire news story and take out Apple and put in Microsoft or put in BP or somebody else.
I just want to make it clear that those views expressed by Kelly are her own and not those of me.
Not at all.
But I think it's
totally and those names are only provided as examples. Go on, yeah, Jim.
Because at the pub the other night, you were saying these are all the
kind of grow up and get over the idea that big multinational corporations are in any way, shape, or form moral entities. I mean, they're like, oh, you know, Google, don't do evil, Apple, friendly company. It's like big corporations have zero moral conscience at all. Anything that they do in the moral sphere is purely a cost-benefit analysis. Do we need to appear this moral in order to avoid alienating Y number of customers? There is no moral dimension to any multinational company. And this kind of like faux outrage from the politicians that know damn well that they created the laws that these companies are using to avoid tax. It's just like electioneering by the politicians and PR spinning by the companies. It's like the politicians have no intention of penalizing any of these companies, but they need to be shown that they at least pretend to care. And the companies have no intention of paying a cent or a penny more tax than they have to by the law. And it's just like it's an enormous merry-go-round of showmanship on both counts. And I think, you know.
No, I think the thing that you've got here, though, is the fact that corporations aren't elected, whereas governments are. So governments require public opinion to be in their favour, otherwise they don't get elected again. And the problem there is that corporations are banking on the fact that in a recessive economy, the lack of funds from taxation is something that the government will have to solve rather than the corporation will have to solve. Short-sightedly, the corporation won't sell their product in that country in the end if the government ends up hiking taxes to pay for public service beyond the point at which people can actually afford it. But they're banking on the idea that the government will never do that because it wants to remain popular with the public and nothing else. It can't afford a recessive economy. It can't afford people to stop spending. And that's the problem, is that the corporations are looking at a very short-term, very negative view of what they can do with their money and force the governments into taking the unpopular decisions and making themselves look bad. And it'll all collapse down around there. We're in for another depression. Another year's time, it'll all be going belly up.
Well, if they want to keep tax... Sorry.
Go ahead.
If they want to keep taxing me, then that's fine, because that means I won't be able to end up buying their products in the, you know, in the end anyway.
Yeah.
So
that's exactly it. If the governments are put against the wall, then the corporations are counting on the fact that the governments will just borrow against the deficit and keep the country afloat by subsidy, which there's a point where that runs out and then everyone's broke. Hence the fact that America's got no money.
But all companies, no matter how big or small you are, you have a responsibility is the wrong word. You have a responsibility if you're a traded company, but everybody has a responsibility for to make the most of the tax benefits are. If you're a one-man band or you're a massive, massive corporation, you hire accountants and really, really smart money people to try and find the loopholes and things like that in tax. I mean, that's just the way it is. I'm not saying it's good, but that's the way it is. Irrelevant of anything else, irrelevant of whether they're getting dragged in front of juries and things like that. They have a responsibility to find holes in the tax, and it's just going to be a constant cat. I think we spoke about this in the last show, constant cat and mouse game that's just going to forever, ever happen until everything's changed, and that's not going to be in my lifetime, I don't believe.
No.
But it's not really cat and mouse, is it? Because at the moment, they're not changing anything. They're saying, like, oh, you should be paying more. Companies are saying, well, change the law and we will. And then politicians go, well, yeah, but you should be paying more.
Yeah, no, it will change. I mean, it's not a, not wholesale change, but I honestly can't. There has been changes. I can't think of any off the top of my head now that I'm having to think about them. But little things have changed over the years that has meant that this little loophole has been closed. So we now have to go to this other little loophole. And, IR35, for example, in the construction industry, I'm assuming there's a similar law in the States. But the IR35 law, which basically said that you couldn't work for the same organization for 2 years wholesale without being a permanent employee. So contractors, I'm sure it was put in place for the construction industry. So they closed that loop that basically the previous one said that you could work for ever as a self-employed person working for one company. They closed that loop, and all people found was just different ways of getting around that or leaving that company for 2 months and then and going away in a big cruise around the world and then coming back and joining that company for another 2 years, and that sort of resets the IR35 thing. So it's not wholesale, like as in massive changes in the law, but these little changes just constantly happen, and it's just going to keep on happening.
Yeah, there we go, put the world to rights yet again on that. MacBook Air stock is dwindling. Amazon's reporting that they're running out of it, and there's anecdotal evidence of other things just sort of slipping by. We get new MacBook Airs at WWDC?
Yes. No.
Yeah. Well, last release was June 11th, according to one of the websites I looked at, 2012. Yep. So it's coming up for a refresh. They do it yearly.
More than. I mean, you could be due a speed bump either way, couldn't you? But, I mean, you wouldn't... they would have just bumped the speed rather than dwindle the stock first, particularly. Dwindle stock usually coincides with announcement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'll be the last 3 WWDCs. At least we've had hardware bumps in laptops
that they bothered to announce.
I'm not expecting anything more than just a minor spec bump. I might be surprised, but
I say in the chat room, like Haswell processors, they think maybe going inside.
That's what we keep hearing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They put a Retina display in the 13-inch MacBook Air. And it would be the first time that you not only could you probably not tell two Apple products apart blindfold, but even when you took the blindfold off, you'd still have trouble telling whether you were on a Retina 13-inch MacBook Pro or 13-inch Retina Air. It seems they're very close product.
Aren't they worried about the battery drain, though, from a Retina an Air at the moment? Maybe next year, but they don't think this year.
The killer one.
I don't know. I keep coming back to this. There's nothing coming until the Q3, and it ain't Q3, is it?
It was specifically nothing new, as in like new products. So like the watch, the TV, the car, the fire extinguisher. Until any of those kind of come out, I think he just meant those kind of new things.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, they say no product. He said no product categories till Q3, didn't he?
Yeah.
No new product categories. There's going to be shitloads out then.
Math. January, February, March is quarter one.
Math.
April, May, June is quarter two. So whatever they announce at WWDC, if it doesn't ship for a month, it's quarter three.
Good point.
And it's very common to say, here's this thing, it's the new hotness, you can have them in 30 days.
Plus, it's normally a spec boost, they don't normally do a big launch. It was only because they brought out the Retina last time that they put it on the stage. Yeah. They normally just update the page and off you go.
The store comes down. Yeah, the store comes down and comes back up, and there's new and the machine has this processor instead of the one it had 20 minutes ago. Sometimes there's not even a press release. It's just the store goes down, and everybody wets themselves, and then it comes back up, and there's still no Apple television.
Really, Kelly? Do you actually wet yourself? Sleep.
No, I can tell when the store is down just by looking at my email. All of a sudden, the tip jar for Tua has quadrupled in size in the last 8 minutes. That means the store is down.
Which also tells me no one at Apple's ever heard of WordPress.
The store's not down until Don says it's down. That's what I say.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm firmly in the camp. I think that the watch thing is I'd got myself overexcited by mentally combining the iWatch with the TV in a Dick Tracy style.
That's because you're a middle-aged man, you see.
I was thinking, an iWatch, and then it could have a little TV in it, and it would be the iPod Nano and the iWatch and the ITV all in one wrist television thing, and then I remembered how cool that would be.
Did you see the story of the Apple ad, the music one, and they're saying, oh, there's a picture of that guy with a really chunky watch on. Maybe that's the iWatch.
No, that isn't. That's a watch style I've seen around before. Holy crap.
I know. I was really doing that. I thought, what are you talking? That's if they're going to leak it in an advert.
The iWatch is for middle-aged white guys.
Yeah, so that's us then. Me. Is it because I is white?
No, it's because you're middle-aged.
Yeah.
You're in a shed on a Sunday night talking to us a lot about Apple, mate. I mean, Jesus.
No, you're confused.
Yeah, do you know how to party or what?
Thank God you're married, otherwise you'd be dateless.
Sunday night, have a holiday weekend at that.
I am considered quite a catch by some of my more desperate
having
clients.
Just put the finishing touches to a comic show.
I got invited up into a lady's bedroom to check her phone reception last week.
Is that right?
Fnack, fnack.
Yes.
Confessions of a Dr. Happy.
Very much code.
Was it on vibrate?
Oh, dear. Kelly, now, Big Russ is asking in the room, will they update the Apple TV? And I really wish they would for us in the UK, at least.
Oh, God, yes.
Why is an iPlayer on the Apple TV? I can't get my head around that.
Because it's no use in the States.
No, I get that, but why isn't it? Is there not something that you could use in the UK online on the Apple TV?
No. I don't think there's anything we've got on the UK version that they haven't got on the US version, but there's lots of US-centric stuff that we haven't got, which is really annoying.
But
see
that?
Oh, Wheatley's gone. No.
Oh, no.
No, he's gone.
Because if you...
Start again.
I'm basing this on your scene.
Wheatley, shut up. Start with...
Yeah, right.
Start with now see that. Go on.
Go. Start with what?
Now see that, and when you looked up.
Over.
Just begin again. Begin again.
Okay. My point was, I don't understand why in the Apple TV we have stuff that's US-centric, when if you actually plug it into the American DNS or something like that, you actually get a buttload more. So why don't we have... I forgot my point now.
Thank you, Skype.
My point... Oh, I remember my point. So we have all this American stuff that's like the British one, but then if you go over the American one, they have tons more. So it's clearly not that we have American stuff. We just have stuff that I think Apple thinks British people want to see. That was my point.
Not only does Skype cut off your voice, it cuts off Wheatley's brain as well. Go into the XML code, and there's a little bit in there that says starve Wheatley of oxygen. Just put some brackets around that and you'll be fine, mate.
Wow. I do think, though, in return for putting Major League Baseball and stuff onto the Apple TV in the UK, I think that the next update to the US one should introduce Test Match Cricket.
Or the Insomnia Channel, as it is otherwise known.
5 days of fun, you American bastards.
And at the end, no one wins.
Yeah. But they You're played back. For 4 days.
Five.
Hey, I have a wish for WWDC, and my wish is this. My wish is that we see iOS 7, because we're going to probably get that anyway, but then that Tim comes out and tells us that the Apple TV is no longer a hobby, and that it's going to get taken seriously. It's going to be a thing.
They're going to give it up. And,
like, it's going to be, you know, it's going to stop wearing the Angus Young schoolboy pants, short pants, and it's going to get some big boy pants, you know? Like we're going to actually treat it like a real thing, because people keep buying them, and we feel like maybe there's something to that. And I wish that that would happen. What I want them to do is not make an Apple television, but get in cahoots with someone who does make TVs and put a dent with a little brackety thing in the back of all models of, just to make sure everybody knows that I'm completely making this up and probably mildly insane, a Samsung television has a little bracket in the back, and you drop the Apple TV in there, and it comes that way. So there's a little spot you can put it, and then you hang it on the wall, and you're done. That's what I really, really wish would happen is that Apple would just do that, and then Tim Cook can take Munster aside and say, this is as close as you're ever going to get to an Apple television. I'm really sorry, but this is all there is. And then, you know.
I would love them to take that idea and then do that to car stereos as well. So you could just slot your iPhone into the front of a car stereo instead of having to bother with cables and Bluetooth and all sorts of other
things. What, like a cassette?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or more like an 8-track, to be fair.
We're going to add a definition of cassette for the show notes there so that someone understands it.
And 8-track.
Okay, even so Coley's idea or wish that we that Apple takes the Apple TV and makes it so it's not just a hobby, that's not going to happen. But not because Apple is looking at it as a hobby, because they are not. No. They're just telling us that. And I think Apple will continue to call it a hobby, because that means that that the networks, the studios, that all these big content creators aren't feeling intimidated by Apple TV. It's just Apple's little hobby. Sure, we can put some content on there. And when Apple has enough content there where it can be a replacement for cable television, then at that point they'll say, oh, and it really hasn't been a hobby. And it'll be too late for anyone to do anything, and it'll just be out there, and we will have it, and it will be a glorious thing.
Mm. What you're saying is that Apple regard the Apple TV as a hobby in much just the same way as the Germans used to regard Poland, Czechoslovakia, and then most of Western Europe as a hobby.
I think that is a fair synopsis.
Yes, that's it exactly. Oh, that was brilliant.
Okay, the moment when I'm going to know that this is true, I can tell you exactly when this turning point will have turned. And that point is HBO Go on the Apple TV if I don't have an HBO subscription on cable.
Yes.
That will be the moment. When HBO Go can divorce itself from... Because the last rumor I heard was that they were looking at trying to make it some sort of internet service option. So it wasn't tied to cable television. But if you had, you know, Time Warner or Comcast or whoever, that one of the things you could do was for X dollars a month, you could add HBO Go as service to that. Now, I do still call them I call them about every 6 weeks or so, and I say, please let me give you money. I don't have enough cable to buy HBO, and if you would give me HBO Go and I could pay you directly, I would be happy to do that. And they nod and smile and hang up the phone. But I keep doing it, because maybe that somebody will be the right person to hear it and understand. And that's the moment when you can get HBO Go on the Apple TV. That's going to be the time when it's going to be like, oh, everybody's going to go, oh, it's too late. This is what happened. And now everybody has to live with it. It's Apple's world. And we all just rent it for 99 cents a piece. That's going to be the moment, I think.
The only problem with that is when they do it, it'll be US centric only.
Yes.
And we'll still have to get Sky to watch Game of Thrones.
I've had to wait. I've had to wait to watch John Adams on Netflix in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've had to wait that long. It's only just been on the last sort of few months.
But on the plus side, sorry, Arrested Development started on Netflix today.
That's for everybody. Yeah.
Around the world.
Yeah.
And do you know why? Because there's always money in the banana stand.
Exactly.
Yes, there is.
Going back to the TV thing, do you think the Microsoft One announcement this week might force Apple's hand either way, whether it be that they just pull it all together and go, I said this for the whole hobby, or actually turn it into something a little bit bigger? Because now all of a sudden Microsoft are in a very strong position in the whole TV entertainment space.
I'm not that blown away with what Microsoft released or announced, I should say.
It's PS3.
Oh, I agree. I'm not blown away from the actual hardware in terms of a gaming device, but as a device for the whole family, where you've got your media, you've got your music, you've got films, you've also got a gaming device with Kinect, you've got the whole package there.
But they've always had that. The Xbox has always done that, but it's never done connectivity to external drives and services properly.
Oh, no, it has. It did connectivity to external drives. It hasn't
Windows Media Center, mate. Badumph. There you go. I flopped it out.
Windows Media Server. You have to have a media server in your house.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. But what I mean by this is this is a streaming service. So you had to have a separate PC, which required a little bit of geekery in the owner's behalf to set up a media server.
A little bit.
But But in terms of the TV stuff, all they're doing is putting an overlay on it. It's doing exactly what that Google round thing, I've forgotten the name of it now, what Google tried to do last year, and that was a complete flop.
But people, that was a new thing they had to buy to do that. This is the new Xbox that people are just naturally going to upgrade to because their old Xbox will stop playing the games that they want to play. You know, when the next Call of Duty comes out and you can't play on your current 360, so you have to move to the next one. And all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, maybe just over a little bit of time, they're really going to start to take a foothold in the media space. I really think that's the case.
I've got to say, and I'm not saying this because I'm an Apple fanboy and a Windows hater, because the program of advertising that they've had at the moment, everyone's going on about Microsoft digging at Apple and how bad it is. I'm sorry, but it's payback because Apple did it long enough to Microsoft. I got no sympathy at all. But I think, looking at the Xbox, I think, again, I can honestly say that I don't think it's going to sell that well. And the reason is, I think kids will buy it because they'll want the latest thing. But that's it. People of my age, I won't be buying an Xbox One. I've got my Xbox 360. If it craps out, I barely play it anyway. What's the point? And people are so tuned in to PC gaming a bit more now than it ever was. And also Mac App Store gaming and iOS gaming, that I'll never see that I need an Xbox 360 to keep me entertained anymore. It's just not going to happen.
Your current Xbox 360 is going to get that whole overlay, though. When the next edition of the Xbox overlay comes out in autumn, that's fall for people in the States, it will get all the same features and everything like that for all the whole media services.
It won't play my old games.
No.
No, it won't. And but all of them have done that, though.
I want that.
Yeah.
No, the 360 could play original Xbox games because I have some original Xbox games too. I don't play it a whole heck of a lot, so I don't need it to be stupendous. And so the thing that I thought was cool about the Xbox One was that it was cool but creepy at the same time that you could talk to it and you could say, Xbox, watch movie, Xbox, watch TV, and it would flip the input on the television for you if you're in the United States. That to me was neato because that's usually the only reason I ever need to pick up a remote control, or the iPhone I have redeployed as a remote control because everything has Wi-Fi now. That to me was the only neat part, but I don't like that it's going to listen to me the whole time to make sure I don't want it to flip inputs. I think that's weird.
Thing is, I'm going to be talking to my Xbox if I get one. I'm talking to Siri. I'm talking to Google Glass when that comes out. I'm not going to have time to talk to human beings at this rate.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's true.
No, I do think they've got a play there. I think.
Any opinions, DHM? Will you be buying an Xbox One?
An Xbox One? No. No, we are firmly in the casual gaming camp with just the iPad and iPhone. We had an original Xbox, which we did just racing games on, which we seem to like. But that's been in the cupboard for about 2 years. I think gaming's probably not part of our family DNA. We won't be buying.
Yeah. I think the DNA of gaming has changed entirely in the last 12 months.
Are you saying you're game curious, by the way?
Not even. I can sum up the enthusiasm to be curious, to be honest. It's like, I obviously far too middle aged for it.
I think the negative step for them as well was having a spinning media in it.
Yeah, you're never going to download a Grand Theft Auto, though.
No.
Never, ever. That's like 8 gig.
People do it, though. There's two problems with it. First of all, they only put the Blu-ray player in it because they're gunning for the PS4, which is also going to have a Blu-ray player in
which is gone, effectively, competitively. It's gone.
People are using it as the home entertainment. It's the one thing they plug in, and now they can watch all the Blu-ray discs and play all the games and watch TV with it. And so that's what, you know, it's got Netflix. And so that's all people want to do with their TV now. And so those are the things that it offers. But I think the thing that's going to be hard on it in the US is that there are still a lot of ISPs that have bandwidth caps. And if you download Grand Theft Auto, you can't check your email for the next week.
And do you know what else as well? It won't be okay in the UK. It'll be US centric again. All the good stuff won't work here, I bet.
So much of the stuff that they said I saw later, like 24 hours later even, was so many of the statements that they made, they were like, everything with an asterisk is only if you're in the United States. And it was like talking to the Xbox to show the TV and, you know, this one and that one and the other and the thing and the stuff. And like so much of the stuff that they were like, this is going to be awesome. They're not going to be able to sell those any place but here. I don't even know how well they're going to do in Canada, given the difference. And, you know, Canada's just generally is America, but nicer. And that's just not going to, this is not going to fly even in Canada, I don't think.
Yeah, you know you really got a bad product when you pissed off the Canadians.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel bad because, like, I want it to be good. I want to see some competition. I want to know what the new game thing is because maybe it's neat. I don't know. But I've never been a Halo player. Like, casually, once in a while, I'll play some Halo. Like, I like Legend of Zelda. I like a questy game. Run, run, shoot, shoot. Not my jam. So everything on iOS tends to be stuff that I enjoy a heck of a lot more than a lot of things I've seen for Xbox. And nothing on Xbox is co-op. That's a story for a whole nother show. I like Nintendo games. And Nintendo has decided that there's absolutely no reason for them to put anything out on iOS. Because why would they want $5 from me when they think they're going to get $150 from me for a Nintendo DS 3D XL WTF BBQ with a compass in the stock and this thing that tells time? Why would they, you know, because you're going to give us $150. No, I'm not. I would give you $5 for Super Mario Brothers on every platform forever.
Yep.
And Donkey Kong and Legend of Zelda and.
Major league numptiness, isn't it? Because they want your $150 for the Wii U, whatever. Yeah. But out of that, it costs them $160 to make the bloody Wii U and stuff. So they might as well just forego the money that they're losing on the hardware and just ship the game out to iOS. I'll tell you what would. To take a because I'm vaguely aware that these consoles and things exist, but what would be quite cool would be the holy grail of like casual gaming on the Apple TV, and then the ability to use your iPad or iPhone in the same way that the Wii U uses its separate pad.
Now, they did that, like, I can hear my Visa crawling its way out of my wallet from here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shut up and take my money. Nintendo, if you're listening... Shut up and take my money.
Yeah, that not be all the Nintendo games on the Apple TV using your pad or iPhone as the controller would be just...
In a heartbeat.
Yep.
And you know what? I'd pay $150 to get all those Nintendo games on my Apple TV. I will not pay $150 for the Wii U or the handheld or whatever. No. I don't need another
Nintendo
piece of hardware.
Hardware is just cack. It's just shoddy cack.
I gave Madden so much grief on Thursday night for doing the media show when he should have been doing the big show. And I feel like we're going to go to Bargain Basement Challenge in a minute, and I'm crapping myself what I'm going to get to play.
I've done two media stories.
That took up 45 minutes.
No, that was the breakdown in sound that took up 45 minutes.
Thank you, Jonah Max, if you're watching.
It wasn't his fault. It was Virgin's fault.
Virgin. Vermin Media. There we go. What else have we got? Prices are dropping all over the place. They've dropped refurb iPads. Best Buy's having a one-month sale on iPhones. They reckon that there's hardware coming, I'm sure. I really reckon Best Buy are suggesting that there's hardware coming at WWDC for a phone. Because if they're saying there's no new product lines, then that opens the door for a new iPhone at WWDC, no?
Well, no, because they're in combat against the S4 and the I can't remember what that HTC phone is, the one or something?
One of the first.
The first, yeah. So, the competition's tough. The iPhone 5 is, like, coming up for, what, three quarters of a year old now?
Yeah.
So it's not looking as attractive as it was when it came out. It's all nice and shiny. When the new one comes out in a few months' time, it will be nice and shiny again, and then all these reports are saying this phone's better than that phone will revert and go the other way. Yep. For a few months.
They've got to do it soon. They can't leave it for too much longer.
Well, you'd hope not.
October.
Oh.
I see.
Yeah.
It's October as well.
They took the iPod event and made it the iPhone event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, iPod's not very big no more, so that would make perfect sense for them to move it there. Yeah.
Well, that's what happened. They took. Mm-hmm. They did the special event for
It was the 4S they moved. It's the 4S, 4S they originally moved out to September.
The 4S went to October, and then the 5 was October. And, I mean, it's what we used to call the October iPod event. And now the iPod then became the iPod Touch, which is now the iPhone. So it makes sense that that's where it would stay. And, I mean, we'll get it when it's ready. I presume that to be October, but I don't have any sort of inside source that tells me that. I just sort of presume it's going to take about a year to ratchet down whatever it is they think is the new hotness that we're all going to wave our visas at.
Thing is, they got to be a bit careful because they can't just change the cycle because they had the same cycle for so many years that people cottoned onto it. So they didn't just move it to a different date and then repeat that cycle to infinity. They're going to have to keep swapping it around to keep the other manufacturers on their toes if they want.
Well, doing an October release for a more long-term solution makes sense because Apple can release a new iPad and a new iPhone in October. And now their competition doesn't have time to react and get new product out for the holiday buying season.
Yeah.
And and what they have right now, generally, is product coming out well in advance of the holiday buying season, giving companies like Samsung and HTC and Motorola the opportunity to respond with their own products in time for the holiday buying season.
I do worry when it comes out near Christmas, though, that they never produce enough to satisfy everyone. And so you get that angry customer who can't get the iPhone for himself or his kid or whoever, or the iPad. And they're just scrambling around trying to find like the product that they want, and they're just getting ripped off by other companies, or eBay, for example, because Apple can't produce them quick enough for Christmas.
Mm.
It doesn't matter when it comes out. Apple can't produce them quick enough.
Yeah.
At Christmas, it's more of an issue because people want to get a hold of these to give as presents.
I think you've got to put it in perspective, the fact that they are also producing something that's as complex to produce as a camera, and they're selling that in 8 weeks, the volume that most camera producers sell in an entire year of all lines of camera, not just compacts. So it must take an awful lot to put together 30 million units a quarter. Huge.
And then keep all that money in Irish banks as well. So
it's in Irish banks. They're fueling the IRA now.
Irish? No, it is held in Irish banks, isn't
it? It's all in Ireland. I thought it was in China.
Oh, I don't know.
It's not in the US.
It's not in the US, exactly.
Yeah. Listen, we don't know where your money is, but it's not here.
Okay, that was an awesome American accent, and I really did that.
Thanks, man. I'll do Richard Nixon again in a minute for you. Apple have begun phasing out downloads of trailers through QuickTime for some reason. No one knows why, but you could get everything before the 22nd of May that was a trailer, you could download. But now, you can't, for some reason. Any ideas? I mean, it's not much of a story, I know. But why would you phase out downloads on... You'd just stop downloads, surely.
Why'd you download it in the first place?
Well, I
think that's the point, is it not? Is that maybe they've started to see their stats and very few people are downloading it. So instead of getting rid of it altogether, they're just phasing it out on some of the... Because I imagine you would download maybe some of the kiddies' trailers, but maybe not on some of the more grown-up trailers.
I mean, I've got to say there's a point to that, because we've had... when Monsters vs. Aliens came out, Ellis was a lot younger, obviously.
Mm.
And we downloaded the trailer and let him play it, and it was just like, you know, it was ridiculous. He wanted to do was watch the trailer for it. He was that excited. And we had a year of that before they released the freaking film.
Come on, Ewan. It was you.
All right, okay.
Stop waiting a minute.
I'll tell you what, I went to see Epic yesterday with the kids.
And
it is the best use of 3D I've ever seen in a film. Some of the scenes were just glorious. The depth of field that they used on them was superb. It was like you were watching a box at the end of the theatre that you could just see into the box, and the box was real people. It was superbly done. It's the best 3D I've ever seen. The story was reasonable as well. It wasn't that bad. And it was a thoroughly enjoyable experience, but it is easily the best 3D that I've ever seen.
So my daughter went to see Epic with a friend of hers, and she came home, and I said to her, Morgan, what did you think of Epic? And she kind of shrugged her shoulders and went, wasn't really that epic.
Yeah. It's a tried and tested story. Boy meets girl in miniaturised forest. It's happened before.
Yeah.
Boy can't go back with girl.
The movies are
not rare. We've all been on
like to watch Gatsby in 3D.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever seen a film less suited to having 3D than The Great Gatsby.
I think that was the thing, was that you got occasional things where things would fly past your face, but it wasn't done that wouldn't have been out of place in 2D. But what was interesting was things like where you did the top down shot of the Queen flying in the dragonfly boat. That was just beautiful. I mean, the depth on that was immense. It was superb, absolutely gorgeous. I've always said it, though, the best scenes in Avatar were the ones of the forest that were just gently moving, where they got layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. The depth of field is where to use 3D, and it did it beautifully yesterday. Absolutely stunning.
So can I just ask when it turned into the media show again, please?
Yeah, no, it's okay. We've done pretty well this week, haven't we, media?
We did a little tour of all the British tech shows tonight.
Yeah, we have. We've done Gamer as well.
Now let's talk about
Carmi. Oh, I haven't done photo this week. Hello, welcome to the photo show. I'm Ewan Rankin. Joining me. That's kind of it, really. There's not a lot of else to talk about with Apple, I suppose. We're done. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're fantastic. We say it every week, but it's true. It's still true every week. There's a new website builder service out there. There's a trailer for it on YouTube, which I voiced over, which you can have a listen to. I did the British version anyway. I didn't do the American one. My American accent's not that good. And,
Mummy, why is Richard Nixon selling me a web service?
Website builder. And UK2. I've got a fantastic range of products for you. If you're anything for the net, then you've got to go to them. Go through our website first, use our offer codes. We get the kudos for it. You get tons of money off, and you get great customer support as well. Every week I retweet someone who says, got great support from UK2. So there you go. Look after them because they look after us. They keep us afloat. And hopefully Craig is going to be coming up to the bash, so you can tell him what you think there and then. That's all right. In a sort of roundabout way. UK2.net. Love them to bits. Right, it's that time. Do you have a cool thing? Monsieur Whitley, start us off.
I do, and I'm going to have to ask Carl for assist me with this. Carl, did you...
I was meant to get that app, weren't I? Sorry.
I had it all prepared earlier.
I was down the pub, weren't I?
No, you asked me when I was on the motorway, so I thought, right, I've got to do that as soon as I get home. I totally forgot.
Okay, I tell you what, I'm gonna just
pad. He's getting it now.
Pad while Carl sorts out. So this app, and the reason I haven't asked Carl to do it is because while this app downloads and works to a degree on all iPhones, it does its best job on an iPhone 5, and its name is Cycloramic, Cycloramic, and it's 69p. Now, being that my feed on Justin TV is about 10 seconds behind, I'm going to have to do this. And also, an advert just started.
No, you killed your bandwidth.
I'm
going
to do this blind. But, Carl, do you have the app ready?
Just grabbing it. I'm just grabbing it. You might have to come back to me.
Right, okay. Well, come back to me. Go and do somebody else.
Okay, Jeff Gamut, what do you have for us, mate?
All right, so I'm hoping I haven't done this before, but if I have, well, whatever, it's my choice, so live with it. My pick is the Fitbit One, which is this right here, and this is like the best health and fitness tracking device I have found so far, and I decided to make it my pick today because I was wearing it on my hike that I did before today's show, and it just was wonderfully handy for keeping track of exactly how far I've walked. And like right now, I'm at 14,507 steps for the day, which is going to completely screw up everyone else's stats for the other Fitbit users that I'm friends with. But yeah, okay.
Which
so that's
bonus.
Another.
You can.
Oh, go ahead, Kelly.
No, that's a bonus. You get to add people as part of your network, and you can compete against them. That's all. It's neato.
Yes. Yes, and it tracks flights of stairs that you've climbed. So today I'm at 157 already because of my hike, and it shows distance that I've traveled, how many calories I've burned, and it has a built-in silent alarm, and it synchronizes with your iPhone and through Bluetooth. So you don't actually have to connect it to a computer ever to use it, which for me, that's one of the features that makes it so much better than the original Fitbit, because I can now travel anywhere and I don't have to take my computer for syncing my Fitbit back to my account. And they are like $100.
Okay. Very good. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what you've just talked about because I wouldn't do any exercise.
That's all right. I did some for you today.
Thanks, man. Cheers, man. I really appreciate it. Clearly. How are we doing? Sorry, Kelly, go on.
No, go ahead.
How are we doing with the app?
We're going to Cycloramic, which is...
Yeah, Carl, have you managed to download it yet? Carl's gone.
Carl? You're on mute.
Sorry, I'd mute because it was making me.
Are you, okay. Have you managed it, or...?
I don't know yet. It's saying go. Press... Oh, hang on.
I don't know if you can see my...
Yeah, so if your camera's on him... I don't know. I can't see.
Yeah. There we go.
Can you see it?
Okay. Is it doing stuff?
It's doing stuff.
I feel like a blind guy trying to work out what's going on.
Spinning round slowly.
Right. Okay. So what this basically is doing is Cycloramic uses the vibrate function inside the iPhone 5 to turn the camera around to take a 360-degree panoramic photo, and it is just awesome.
How's it? What's it stood on though?
It's just on the base of the iPhone. It's just sitting on the desk. It's one of those things about the iPhone that just makes folk go, I don't believe it's doing that. It is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, you set it up on its end and then it spins around. It like, yeah, your mind is blended. I
guess. It is amazing.
You can't have it in a case.
Yeah, you've got to have it kind of fresh on the table.
I can barely get mine to stay upright when it's lying on its back.
It is awesome. And it just goes, it's just something about the whole, it just makes me love the whole kind of Apple thing whereby a developer can have that much faith in the exact positioning of that vibrate little motor in every single handset that it's going to work perfectly on every single handset. It's just awesome.
Oh, dear God. Cycloramic.
Yeah.
69p.
Unfortunately, that spinny feature only is iPhone 5. If you download it for a 4 or 4S, you'll still be able to use the app and take photos, but you don't get that 360 vibrate spinner thing, which could be another show again. But the vibrate spinner thing, unless you're in an iPhone 5.
Right.
Well, there's no point in doing any more cool things.
I win.
Right?
Right, Kelly, go on.
Okay.
See him and raise him, girl.
Well, I can't now. No. God, maybe I need to rejigger my pick. What I was?
Oh, I didn't realize it was that kind of.
I did that before we came. I did that before we came on.
Okay, then I am changing my pick. I'm going to change it to.
No, it doesn't have to be a one-upman. Go on. Stick with your pick, girl.
Okay, so if you are a person who has a lot of video and maybe you have it on a network device or you have it living on your computer and you want to be able to sync some of it to your iPad because you want to watch something else in another room or what have you, there's a really nice app, VLC, some people may remember as like the Swiss Army Knife of video players on the Mac, was on the App Store for about 20 minutes, and then it got pulled. And the best thing to replace it is an app called, I want to make sure I get the name right, AV Player HD. And it looks like this. It's a nice little red icon. I don't know how well you're going to be able to see that. Right. But it's super cool. The media browser is nice. It's super quick. It's a lot faster than what I had been using once. Because I just had a lot of stuff that in the iPad version of VLC wasn't supported. And so I had started using Cinex Player, and Cinex Player was nice, but it was a little pokey, and they've recently redone the media browser interface, and like everything has this giant thumbnail. It's not a list anymore, and it's really hard to get around. So I went looking for something new, and I found this. It's $2.99 US, and It's fast. You can transfer things to it over Wi-Fi if you want to, or you can use the app sync like in iTunes. And so far, I really like it. And the sound that comes out of it is really nice. And it has some options for you can watch at a slightly faster speed if you want to. Or somehow, like, seriously, I know this is weird, but, like, everything sounds better coming out of this app than it did out of ZX Player. And so that's my pick this week. And I'm sorry, it's nothing near as exciting as Cyclorama, but there you go.
Bad luck, girl.
Do you have to convert the videos first for that one, Kelly?
No, I've fed it AVI files, MKV files, and various flavors of MP4, and it doesn't really care. It just plays them.
There's another app called Air Video as well, which is really good for streaming. It converts on the fly, and wherever you are in the world, as long as you can get back to your server, it works a treat as well.
Ooh.
Air Video.
Air Video.
That sounds awesome. Good one. I'm going to have to check that out.
I got Air Video. Good addition. Dr. Happy Mac, what do you have?
I've got Cycloramic now. It turns out there was something sticky on the bottom of my iPhone and it got stuck.
Well, hey.
Oh, man.
That's that iPhone clean and shiny.
No, it's the desk that was the trouble.
I've got two picks.
You had nothing at the start of this show. The bloody hell have you come in with two?
One is a freebie. They're both music picks, and they're at the opposite end of the spectrum. The freebie one is called ToneePad, which is a little free app here for making music without musical ability by pressing buttons on this little grid, which the computer will then convert into musical sounds for you.
Jolly good.
So you can you hear that?
Yeah.
Which is very good, and it's free, which is nice. And you can make little tones and convert them into ringtones and things, which is nice, but not quite as useful as the one that I was very pleased to find on the App Store for the grand price of $34.99.
What?
Which sounds a lot until you realise that what you're buying is a Fairlight CMI for your iPad.
Really?
That's
pretty cool if it is.
Remember in the 80s, Depeche Mode, Human League, up there on the stand, and behind all of them was a little green screen with the word Fairlight underneath it.
Yeah.
I used to go, that is making the coolest noises my ears have ever heard. And now you can buy Fairlight CMI or your iPhone or iPad.
Excellent.
So you've not bought it.
It's a free version. You can buy the free version free. But the pro version has all of the Fairlight sounds on it. It also does, rather bizarrely, because the Fairlight is a product of the 80s, when you load up different samples, it makes a floppy disk churning noise as it loads up the sample.
Oh, jeez. Skeuomorphism.
If you set the samples up wrong, it makes a little smoking sound, apparently, which is what Fairlights used to do if you programmed them wrong in the 80s. And sometimes you load a sample up and the floppy disk will chur and fail to load. Just like all times.
I'm in love.
Russ Clewis just tweeted me. He says, tell you guys that he's got the Fairlight app and he's using the original one as well, and it's amazing. And it sounds very 80s indeed.
You can't afford a Fairlight from eBay. I thought, gosh, they'll be cheaper, but they go for an insane amount of money. When they were insane when they were new, and they're still insane, and this is for £34.99. That's a Fairlight CMI on your iPhone or iPad.
Very good.
You need this. Here I go.
You're not going to blow $34.99, are you, Kelly?
It's an expensive
show. No, I'm
going
to start with the free one according to the site. There's a free one. So I'm going to start there. See how I do.
Mr. Carlman, what the hell have you got for us, dude?
Well, I haven't had much time to find anything new, so I'm going back to choosing Google Plus. Anyone who's tried it should go back and give it another shot. Now, Google have given it a bit of a clean-up, shall we say. Because the way it presents the news and the stories and people's finds and videos and definitely the photographs, I think it looks really good. And it looks really good no matter if it's on the screen, the Mac screen or the iPad or the phone. it's a really good experience. And you have this, I know it's a new social media, another social media thing, I should say, but I'm trying to develop my Google Plus muscle and post there every day. And I'm finding quite interesting stuff on it as well. Again, it was like Twitter when it first began. The experience on who you follow will dictate the experience on the overall app. So, but I give it a positive rating, and I'm using it a lot more. And if anyone wants to find me on it, just search for Carl Madden, and it's my old usual avatar picture there.
Good, man. No, well done. Right. Excellent. My pick is a website called fcpeffects.com. They do effects for Final Cut Pro. That's pretty obvious before you even start. But what's kind of cool with them is the effects are really, really good. There's little tutorial videos that show you how to use them as well as. They're pretty powerful. And I've had a bit of a... I've got Pixel something or other, and I kept buying theirs for a while because they did cool things, but there was always this restriction about, oh, you have to create a compound clip first, and then you've got to do it separately and then bounce it back into the project and everything. And the thing with these is, you don't. They're not CPU hungry. They just work. They do what they say on the tin. And, here's the best bit, when you do buy them, buy one of them free, buy one of their effects, and it'll cost you $39.99. You think, well, that's pretty expensive. Well, it's not, because it works and it's powerful. What you then get from them every week is a promo code, and you can get 75% off if you spend $500. So you can get $500 worth, which basically clears them out of everything that they've got, for $100, which is what I did the week after. But they've got loads and loads of cool stuff. They've got one called Print Stacker, which is great if you want to do like a little slideshow thing with some still images or bits of video that flop down onto the screen. There is tons of stuff on there, and they work, and they're not CPU hungry. So there you go, fcpeffects.com. Well worth checking out. Where can we get a hold of you, Monsieur Wheatley?
You could get me on Twitter. I'm up. Wheatley, and you can find me on The Gamer Show on this year network. Our latest show this week is covering the Microsoft Xbox One announcement.
Excellent, mate. Joe, you? By the way, I was listening the other week when you said about captaining a caught up on me podcast this week, so yes.
Mm. Cool. Good.
But I don't know which one to pick because I'm scared shitless of Chiz, so. I don't know which one to pick.
It's all in your head. Once you beat him and realise he's a weaselly little gentleman, he'll be fine.
I'll pick iOS games on under 69p, please. Jeff, where are you, sir?
You can find me at macobserver.com, and you can find me on Twitter and what's the other one? App.net. I'm jgamut both places.
See, it's already pointless. If you're saying oh, and the other one.
Well, it may very well be the fact that here it is, a quarter after four on Sunday afternoon on a holiday weekend, and I haven't had any alcohol yet today. So, oh, yeah, I know. This is a crisis about to happen. And speaking of crisis, how about Fresh Brewed Tales? Because that's where I write all the ridiculous stuff that I see happening in coffee shops.
Excellent, mate. We shall take him in. Kelly, where are you going?
I am right behind this margarita. That's where I am.
Oh, of course. It's late in the day.
Are you in Margaritaville?
Not yet. Still Portland, but the sun's out today, so that helps. You can find me in Portland. I'm on Twitter and app.net as Verso. And you can find me sometimes hosting the Tuwa Talkcast and writing on tuaw.com.
Are you drinking that margarita out of a plastic cup?
I am indeed, because
that's
I wanted more margarita.
That's the route to drinking stuff out of bottles with paper bags around them, woman. just be proud.
It's because this holds logistical issue. This holds more margarita than my margarita glasses do.
And is it a proper margarita or is it a slushy?
Mm-mm. No, a couple of ice cubes. That's it.
Good girl. Well, that's all right. You've redeemed yourself there. Fair enough.
Slush pup. Yeah.
A slushy margarita.
That basic nonsense is for amateurs.
Disgusting. THM, where would you be?
I'm in my shed with my Amstel.
Have you laid that last the whole show?
No, I've had several.
Good lad. Good lad. The mute button is there for when you pop the top off the next one.
Yes, you've noticed that, or not noticed, because I've been...
Yes.
Yes.
Popping.
Well played, sir.
Yeah.
And you haven't had too many of them because you haven't left it on mute, so well done.
And I found a pick. So
well,
I just,
and he answered to his name.
Head of the game.
Good man. Where can we get you, mate? In your shed drinking.
On Twitter. Dr. Happy Mac on the internet. At Dr. Happy Mac on app.net. Is that still going?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm still
there. I've been for a while.
I'm still on it.
I paid me money.
I'm all over it.
Yeah.
And a certain other one.
I keep getting followers as well, which I haven't said a word on there for about 8 weeks. Never mind. And last but by no means least, Monsieur Claw.
You get me on Twitter at Clawzia101 or, as I say, on Google Plus at Carl Madden.
And Friday night, boy, we do be drinking beer.
We do drinking beer, yes, indeed.
Yeah, we're going down the Crown and Anchor on Drummond Street near Euston. And I have got my pass stamped for an entire evening. I think the meeting that I'm in is finishing about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Excellent.
And my train home isn't until 10:30.
And I've escaped the office, so I can get off early again now.
The wife's away, so me and Claw will be out there drinking. I think Mustang Matt's definitely coming. So if you're in the Euston area, come get a beer. The Crown and Anchor on Drummond Street. From 3:34 PM onwards.
On Friday night.
Yeah, are you around?
No, I'm in Thursday. I'm in London this week.
I will change it.
No, I can't. Everybody, I've got to move about 4 other people. So no.
Okay.
Would be nice. If...
One day. I'm in Ewan Rankin. You can see me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and I'm on not at the same name, but don't bother. I'm on Untapped. I'm on Untapped at Ewan Rankin. That's worth having.
We're all Untapped.
We're on Untapped, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on Untapped also.
We need to add each other. We'll be back again next week. Change of day. I can't do Friday because I'm out drinking with Carl, so we're going to have to try and do Thursday. I haven't checked with anyone whether they can do it yet, so there may not be no show next week at all anyway, so who knows. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Cheerio.
Bye.